Last week, we began learning the halacha of smichus geula l'tefila, the fact that you have to say the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael right before you begin the Shemona Esrei. Now, and there was a slight debate as to whether that applied at Ma'ariv as well as at Shacharis. Everybody agreed that it applied at Shacharis, but there was a debate as to whether it also applied at Ma'ariv. Now, at Ma'ariv, there are a few things that we do. Let's assume for the moment that it does apply at Ma'ariv, which is how we paskin, that smichus geula l'tefila does apply at Ma'ariv. What are some of the problems with that halacha? Meaning, what do we?
We do stuff after we...
Yeah, we do. We have other things we say after Ga'al Yisrael. We say Ashiveinu. There's all other bracha, right? There's a whole other bracha, and the bracha of Hashkiveinu, and then many people say Baruch Hashem le'olam, amen ve'amen, and then there's a Kaddish, right? There's a half Kaddish after Ga'al Yisrael. There are at least, and don't forget that this applies to Shacharis too, but what the Gemara is going to point out is that we also say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Agi Kehi Lasecha before beginning the bracha, the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. So how, there are at least three things at Ma'ariv that happened before Ga'al Yisrael, after Ga'al Yisrael and before the Shemona Esrei, if not four things. So the Gemara regards a couple of those things. Take a look where I put the arrow. That's exactly where we left off last week. Mesiv Mar Berei de Ravina. Mar, the son of Ravina, attacked this whole institution of smichas geula l'tefila at Ma'ariv. And he said, Be'erev mevarech shtayim lefaneha ushtayim l'achareha. He quoted the halacha that in the evening at Ma'ariv you say two brachos before Shema and two brachos after Shema, unlike in the morning where you say only one bracha after Shema. So that's his contradiction. Ve'i amart ba'i l'smoch. And if you say you have to attach the redemption, Ga'al Yisrael, to the davening, ha lo kasamach geula l'tefila, then you did it, right? Ha lo kasamach geula l'tefila. You didn't attach Ga'al Yisrael to davening, because at the very least you have Ashkiveinu, you have the second bracha. So now the Gemara answers. Deha ba'ilu meimar hashkiveinu. Okay. Amrei, so they answered, Kevan de takinu rabbanan hashkiveinu, since the rabbis instituted that you say the bracha of hashkiveinu, kige'ula arichta damya. It's like an extension of the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael. It's a ge'ula arichta, a longer ge'ula. De'ilo te mahachi, if you don't say that, Shacharis hechi matzi samichle. If you don't say that when the rabbis institute something, then it just extends the other thing, then Shacharis also you don't have geula l'tefila because of Hashem sfasai tiftach. Veha amar Rabbi Yochanan, betchila omer Hashem sfasai tiftach, ulubsof hu omer yula ratzonim reifi. The beginning of the Amidah, you say, God opened my lips. And at the end of the Amidah, you say, Yuhula ratzonim reifi ve'yon li bilafanecha Hashem tzuri v'goali. You say, so that was the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan made this statement in a vacuum, and we had this other halacha, you have to have smichas geula l'tefila, we might think that there is no smicha geula l'tefila, even at Shacharis. So then, the answer, Ella, Hasam kevan de takinu rabbanan lemeimar Hashem sfasai tiftach kisfila arichta damia. There, because the rabbis instituted that you say God opened my lips, that becomes tfila arichta. It becomes part of the Shemona Esrei. Hachanami kevan de takinu rabbanan lemeimar Ashkiveinu kigeula arichta damia. So too here. Since the rabbis established that you have to say Ashkiveinu, it becomes like a Geula Arichta, like a longer Ga'al Yisrael. By the way, this is why I insist when I suggest when people daven from the Amud, you're really supposed to say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach and Yula Ratzon out loud. It's part of the tefillah. It's tefillah arichta. And if it's not part of the tefillah, you're not allowed to say it. It's either part of the tefillah or you're not allowed to say it. It's tefillah arichta or it's a hefsek between Ga'al Yisrael and the Shemona Esrei. So it's proper to say it out loud. Okay. So what exactly does it mean that it's like a geula arichta? What does it mean that when the rabbis instituted hashkivenu, it becomes a geula arichta? What do they mean? How is it geula? You're not saying the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael any longer. So what does it mean that it's geula arichta? Good. Excellent. That's one possibility. Rabbi Block suggests that perhaps the concept of geula, the theme of geula, continues through the bracha of Hashkivenu. The theme of geula continues through the bracha of Hashkivenu. And then you would have to say, if that's your view, you'd have to say, if you want to say Baruch Hashem le'olam amen ve'amen, you'd have to say that it continues through Baruch Hashem le'olam amen ve'amen also, and through the Chatzi Kaddish. Okay. Does anyone have another suggestion as to what that might mean? Kevan detakinu rabbanan kegeula arichta damia. So one possibility is that it's thematically connected to geula. So the other possibility, just thinking about it, is that it's not that the theme is connected. So geula, you're right, Rabbi Block focused on the fact that we called it geula arichta. But you might focus on the fact that it's kevan detakinu rabbanan, meaning it's just a rabbinic, it's a legalistic thing. It has nothing to do with the theme of geula or anything like that, but rather that when the rabbis establish something, then it becomes okay. Meaning all the rules, all of these rules are derabbanan. Nothing here is deraisa. So a very important principle about rabbinic law, this is really central through all derabbanans, is the rabbis can make the rules about their own rules. Right? If something's deraisa, then you have to work within the framework, within the biblical framework of the deraisa rules. But if the rabbis of the Talmud establish a rule, then they can also establish the parameters of that rule. That's their right. They made up the rule, so they can make up the rules about the rules. The same thing is true here. Once the rabbis say that you need smichas geula l'tefillah, right? That's not deoraisa. You don't need smichas geula l'tefillah mi deoraisa. There's no pasuk that you can connect that to. But once the rabbis say you need smichas geula l'tefillah, they can also say where you don't need smichas geula l'tefillah. Meaning this one doesn't count as a hefsek. Once the rabbis made a rule, they can also make up the rules about the rules. That's exactly the machlokas about how to understand smichas geula l'tefillah. Take a look at the Me'iri. On page 2, I include the Me'iri. The Me'iri takes our second approach. He says this whole thing is legalistic. The fact that we said tefillah arichta and geula arichta, it doesn't mean that Hashem's fasai tiftach is really part of the davening, and it doesn't mean that hashkivenu is really part of Ga'al Yisrael. Let's read the underlined portion here in the Me'iri. Nimtza mikol makom, we find, shiatzichleinu shava, that we agree with each other. He was quoting the opinion of the Rambam earlier. But we all agree. Shebekel melech ne'eman. Now he happens to be talking about a different halacha in this case. You know, you ever seen the Siddur? It says that if you're davening alone, before Shema, you can say kel melech ne'eman. The idea is that there should be a 100 words in the Shema. And so those three, if you're davening with a minion, then the Shaliach Tzibor repeats, Hashem Elokeichem Emet. And so that's the three words at the end. So because you don't have those three words, if you're davening alone, you say Hashem Sfasa, you say Kel Melech Ne'eman at the beginning. Now, not everybody agrees to that. I personally don't have that practice because of the, you say a bracha. There's a bracha immediately before Shema that according to many opinions is Birkos HaMitzvah. It's a Birkas HaMitzvah on the Shema. So you should not have a hefsek between the Birkas HaMitzvah and the Shema. And that's another, that's the opinion of many as well. But what the Meiri says here, he's trying to justify the notion that Kel Melech Ne'eman would not be a hefsek. So he says, it's a nenu hefsek velo borut. It's not a hefsek, and it's not pure stupidity. A lot of the Rishonim were much sharper in their comments about practices they didn't like than rabbis today are going to be. And so if they thought that a custom wasn't right, they would say it's borut, it's pure stupidity. That's what borut means. Nonsense. So he says, it's not a hefsek, and it's also not pure nonsense. Why? Vehu shekol davar ha'amor betakanat chachamim eina hefsek velo borut. Anything the rabbis established is not a hefsek. Meaning once the rabbis say you shouldn't make a hefsek. So what does that mean? You shouldn't talk. Don't have a conversation in between this and that. But if the rabbis established institute that you say something, well then that itself is not a hefsek. That itself is not a hefsek. Then he quotes our case. Sha'arei b'smichas ki'ula l'tfila. When it comes to attaching the bracha of Goal Yisrael to the Shemona Esrei, Amru Hachi, they said that. V'ha amar Rebbe Yochanan, Omer Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. He quotes the whole line about saying Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, God opened my lips before the Amidah. Klomar, v'havale hefsek l'smicha so. That would be considered a hefsek, an interruption between Gaal Yisrael and the Amidah. V'tirates, kevan detakinu le'rabbanan, k'geula dami. Because the rabbis established that you say it, it's like a geula. Know that the Meiri does not connect the themes here. There's no thematic connection. It has nothing to do with the fact that Hashem's Fasai Tiftach seems like it's related to the Amidah or anything like that. It's just because the rabbis established it, doesn't count as a hefsek. Okay? He has other examples. Right? When we sit in the sukkah, first you say the bracha on the custom is, first you say the bracha on the food, and then you say the bracha of Leishev Basukkah. So shouldn't Leishev Basukkah be an interruption? When you say a bracha on food, you're supposed to eat the food immediately with no interruption. So that's exactly what the Meiri says. V'chein b'achila b'sukkah. The same thing applies in a sukkah. Mevarech ha-motzi, u'mevarech ha-chareh ha-leishev b'sukkah. First you say the bracha of ha-motzi, and then you say the bracha of sitting in a sukkah. V'lo chashashu lahakdim birkas yeshiva sukkah. The rabbis didn't think to say leishev b'sukkah first. Right? An obvious solution would be say Leishev Basukkah first, and then say the bracha on the food. Why not just do that? Mepneya hefsek shebein birkas hamotzi lachilas alachem shemeachar shemikoach takana osin kain ein kan hefsek. Because you do so, because the rabbis established that you do it, it does not count as a hefsek. So the Meiri just says there's a whole legal principle. Okay, it's not, right, there were really, the Gemara had, so let me sum up, because some people walked in. So we'll sum up like this. Last week, we learned that you're supposed to attach the bracha of redemption of Gaal Yisrael to the Shemona Esrei, and you should say nothing in between those two things. The Gemara then pointed out that in Ma'ariv, there's a bracha of Hashkivenu. There's a whole extra paragraph after Gaal Yisrael and before the Amidah. How can you justify saying that if you have to attach them? So the Gemara had a line. Kevan de takinu rabbanan, kigeula arichta damia. Since the rabbis established it, it's like an extended redemption, an extended blessing of redemption. And we're now looking at how to understand that line in the Gemara. According to the Meiri, The focus is on the first half of the line. Kevan de takinu rabbanan. Since the rabbis established it, it's not considered an interruption. What would be an interruption? A conversation between people. That's an interruption. And once the rabbis establish something, you can't call that a hefsek. But there's another way to look at it. Rabbi Block's way. A thematic connection. Right? The line was Kevan de takinu rabbanan. Since the rabbis established it, ke'ula arichtadamia. You could focus on the ge'ula arichtadamia. Maybe it's because it's all part of ge'ula. And that's exactly the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah on the next page. Look at Rabbeinu Yonah here on... We're going to look at two paragraphs in Rabbeinu Yonah today. So this is the paragraph labeled number one. On page three. We're on page three of the source packet. The afal gav that tzarich lomar hashkiveinu kegeula arichtadamia. Notice, by the way, that when he quotes our line, what does he omit? What does he omit from our line in the Gemara? Kevan detakinu rabbanan, right? He omits that. And he says, hashkiveinu kegeula arichtadamia. So you already know from his quotation... He's going to focus on the fact that it's Geula Richta. Here's what he says. The Hatam She'eino Hafsaka. The reason why it's not considered an interruption. Mipnei Shashkiveinu Me'ein HaGeulahu. The whole paragraph of Hashkiveinu has to do with redemption. Let's look in the Siddur for a second here. Page 262 in the Art School of Siddur. Lay us down to sleep, O Lord our God, in peace. Raise us erect, our King, to life, and spread over us the shelter of your peace. Set us aright with good counsel from before your presence, and save us for your name's sake. Shield us, or remove us from foe, plague, sword, famine, and woe. Right, that's all redemption. Right, save us means redeem us, means... And remove spiritual impediment from before us and behind us, and in the shadow of your wings shelter us. For God, who protects and rescues us, are you. For God, the gracious and compassionate King, are you. Safeguard our going and coming for life and for peace from now to eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord, who protects his people Israel forever. Now we can read the Rabbeinu Yonah. Me'ein ha'geulahu, shebisha'ah she'avar Hashem, lingofet Mitzrayim. When God passed over Egypt to settle things in Egypt, hayu mefachadin, they were afraid, umispalalin labore, and they would daven to God, they would pray to God, lekayem dvaro, that he should fulfill his promise, namely that he should not kill the firstborns of the Jews, of the Israelites. V'shelo yiten ha-mashchit lavo el batehen, and that he should not allow the angel of death to come to their homes. Shederech ha-tzadikim shiyireim tamid shema yigro machet. People who are righteous are always fearful that one of their previous sins might come to haunt them. It's because of this very prayer that the Bnei Yisrael prayed when God was doing his plague of the firstborn. Hitkinu lomar hashkiveinu. That's why there was a takana to say the bracha of hashkiveinu, the fourth, the second blessing after the Shema at Ma'ariv. Shiatzileinu Hashem mikol davar ra, that God should protect us from every evil thing. V'yishmor tzeisenu uvoenu, and he should save our coming and going. V'kevan shetkinu le'omro, keneged ma shehaya b'sh'at ha-ge'ulah, since the whole establishment of the bracha v'ashkivenu was as a result of what happened at the moment of redemption. That's the real redemption from Egypt. Amru delo have hafsaka de kegeula arichta damya. They said it's not considered a hefsek, Because it's like an extended geula. It's really part of the redemption itself. And so we saw that there are two ways of understanding the notion of geula arichta. And the notion of kevan detakinra, the reason why that fourth blessing is not an interruption between Ga'al Yisrael and the Shemona Esrei. Either it's thematic, like Rabbeinu Yonah says and Rabbi Block suggested, that the whole bracha has to do with redemption, and so you're still saying the Shemona Esrei as connected with something in the redemption. Or it's just a legal principle. The legal principle being that when the rabbis establish something, you can't call it interruption. I mean, the rabbi said to say it, so it's not an interruption. And it's connected to all those other instances where that applies. And the same thing would apply to Hashem's Fasai Tiftach, right on the other end. Either it's part of the Amidah, or you might say that it's not a hefsek because the rabbi said to say it. Presumably, those people that want to say Hashem's Fatai Tiftach quietly, rather than out loud when they daven, presumably they would hold of that opinion, that it's just a legal principle, that the rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan, established that you say Hashem's Fatai Tiftach, so it's not considered a hefsek. Okay. We still have two more things at Ma'arif, though, because we have Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amein V'Amein, and we have the Chatzi Kaddish. So presumably our distinction, our two ways of looking at it, would apply in both cases as well. Right? You might, right, is Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen Ve'Amen, what's the deal with that? So let's look at now two ways of looking at that. First of all, let's look at the Tosfos. Back in the first page. I mislabeled it. I meant to label the first one A and the second one B. We're going to look at the second one in a moment. Let's look at the beginning. On the right-hand side, the first underlined portion in the Tosfos. Now, you should know that Sfardim never said Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen Ve'Amen. That's an Ashkenazi custom. And not all the Ashkenazim said it. In Lithuania, it wasn't always said. And those who follow the customs of the Gra also don't say it. Those who are very strict about the customs of the Gra, by the way, don't say Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen Ve'Amen. Don't say the Shamru on Friday night. They don't say Tikku B'Chodesh Shofar B'Kesel L'Yom Chageinu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What's the pasuk they say in the Regalim in between? I don't say it, so I don't know. Okay, so I personally don't say these. But they don't say any of these psukim. Because of this, they're very stringent about attaching Ga'al Yisrael to the Amidah. So where do they get how could the Ashkenazi custom justify saying Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen? So Tosfos regard that. V'anu, she'omrim yiru einenu, ufsukim acherim achar ashkivenu. We, in France, who say yiru einenu, which is part of that long blessing after ashkivenu, Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, and other verses after Ashkivenu. Nira ho'il v'takinu lahu rabbanan havalei ge'ula arichta. Since the rabbis established it, it's also a ge'ula arichta. That's amazing, right? They extend the logic of the Gemara, and they say it also applies to this paragraph of Baruch Hashem le'olam amein ve'amein. The Gemara never said that. The Tosfos said that. V'takinu lomar zeh, Shebesoch kach yisfalel chaveiro gam hu, velo yelech mi beis haknesses ad sheyigmor kol echad ve'echad tfilasa. You know, the reason why Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen was established was because it was dangerous to walk from where people used to daven to go home. And so, some people would arrive at shul late. And imagine for the moment, Ma'ariv, there's no Chazaras HaShatz, right? There's no repetition of the Amidah at Ma'ariv. So if you come to shul late in Ma'ariv, and you start davening after everybody else, everyone else is going to finish before you. There's no catch-up time. So, because there's no repetition. So imagine if everybody finished davening, and everybody left the shul, and then you were left alone, you had to walk home alone. It was dangerous. So in Ashkenaz, they established this extra paragraph, which has 18 verses. Each verse refers to one bracha of the Amida. And so since the Amida of Ma'ariv is optional, right, it's Rishus, that's in the fourth chapter of Brachos, they established that Ma'ariv is optional. Whereas Shachris and Mikar are obligatory, Ma'ariv is really optional. And so because it's optional, but the Shema is not optional, right? Shema, you have to say. So they established this paragraph so the people who would arrive late wouldn't say the whole Amida. They just said that paragraph, and it was as though they got into the Amida. And then somehow that paragraph stuck, even though everybody now says the Amida and walk home. And even the people that don't come late, even they say the paragraph. By the way, many people do have the custom that even if they do say that paragraph when they daven with a minion, if they daven alone, they don't say that paragraph because that paragraph never had anything to do with davening alone. It only applied when he davened with a minion. That's also a common custom, to say it only if you're davening with a minion and not when you're davening alone. Okay, that's one approach. Let's look at Rabbeinu Yonah again on the next page. Page 3. The second Rabbeinu Yonah paragraph at the bottom. V'yesh l'sho al mosh esamchu ha'olam lehosif elomar acharkein psukim shel birkas ha'melech b'chvodo. We have to see what the story is with the people of the custom of adding the bracha of ha'melech b'chvodo. That's the last paragraph. The Gemara never said that that's a Geula Arichta. The Tosfot said that, but the Gemara never said that's a Geula Arichta. So where do they get the guts to say this whole paragraph and interrupt between Gaal Yisrael and the Shemona Esrei? Many rabbis did not say this paragraph. In fact, that was the custom of my teacher, the Ramban. Rabbi Yonah is a student of the Ramban. He didn't say that paragraph. Aval Mori Rabbeinu Yonah. Krovo Nasan Tam Laminag. But Rabbeinu Yonah did give a reason for this custom. Rabbeinu Yonah himself probably didn't say it, but he gave a reason for the custom. He justified the custom. Shinagu Kol Olam Laomram. Shebetchila Shehaisa Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Hayu omrim elu apsukim. Sheyesh bahem yudches hazkaros keneged yudches habrachos. V'chosnim aleihem. V'omrim kaddish v'yotzim. Originally, that whole bracha, as I told you, was established when Ma'ariv was seen as an optional prayer. Nowadays, we treat Ma'ariv like an obligatory prayer, even though really, mi'ikar hadin, it's optional. Really, in principle, it's an optional prayer. We treat it like it's obligatory. So, in those days, when it was really seen as an optional prayer, they made this paragraph, which had the 18 verses, and then they said the Kaddish at the end, and you were able to fulfill your mitzvah of Ma'ariv through that bracha. The achar came. Afal pi shekavuha chova. Later in history, even though now it's considered an obligatory prayer, nishar hadavar kmo aminhag arishon. The custom still remained to say that paragraph. Velo havei hafsaka bein geulah tefila, and it's not considered an interruption. The kevan shemitchila adaita dehachi kavuha chova lo mik adaita kavuha chova. Lo mikri afsaka. Since originally it was established in place of the Shemona Esrei, it's not considered an interruption. Okay? So it's a little bit of a different way of looking at it. Okay. We have one more thing, and that's the Chatzi Kaddish, the half Kaddish, which we do not say, right? We don't say that half Kaddish at Shacharis. Shacharis, in Ga'al Yisrael, you go immediately to the Shemona Esrei. But at Ma'ariv, there is a Chatzi Kaddish. So, take a look back on page 1. The Tosfot quote the Siddur of Rav Amram Gaon, which is the oldest Siddur that we have. The Siddur of Rav Amram. Rav Amram invented the Siddur, basically, because what happened was most Jews lived in Babylonia. And in Babylonia, there were shuls. And the shul had a chazan, and the chazan knew what to do. And the chazan led the congregation. If you go to some Sephardic shuls to this day, the people don't say all the brachot of Kriyat Shema. If you go to some Sephardic shuls to this day, during Maariv, the people just sit silently, and only the chazan says the brachos. The people say Shema, and they say the Amidah. But they don't say all the brachos that surround it. Only the chazan knew the brachos, and he would say it, and he answered Amen, and he fulfilled your obligation that way. But when Jews left Babylonia and they went to Europe, why do you think Jews went to Europe? Why did Jews go to Europe? Who here did not grow up in Albany? Greg, why'd you move to Albany?
Complicated.
Okay. Rabbi Block, why'd you move to Albany? I know why you moved to Albany.
Spread Torah.
Because he had a job here, that's why. So that's why people moved to Europe also. They moved to Europe because that's where the business was. They went for commerce. So guess who didn't move to Europe? The rabbis and the chazanim. So now all these Jews moved to Europe from Babylonia. And they didn't know what to... They still wanted to daven. They were religious people. They had no idea what to do. So they wrote a letter to the rabbi in Babylonia, of Amram Gaon, one of the Gaonim. And they said, could you please write us a book that has all the things in it for the year that we need to know? Because we need to know how to do them, because we're here alone. None of the cantors and other rabbis came. Only the businessmen came. So Rav Amram invented the siddur. That's what this whole thing is invented by Rav Amram Gaon. And he wrote all the prayers and everything out so the people in Europe could continue praying without the cantors and the rabbis. Eventually, the rabbis and cantors figured out that if Jews moved to Europe, then they'd have a job in Europe too. Figured it out. Okay. But here, what Rav Amram says in his siddur, look at the second underlying portion of this Tosfos on the right. Umihu beseder Rav Amram piresh, mashe anu omrim kaddish, bein geulah tefilas arvis. The fact that we say kaddish between the bracha of Goal Yisrael and the Amida of Ma'ariv. Lashmeinan diloba inan mismach geula latfila geula de arvis latfila shows that you don't need to attach the redemption to the tfila at Ma'ariv. The tfilas arvis rishus. Because Ma'ariv is optional, the rules are more lax. In fact, the Tosos in the fourth chapter make this very same comment. Ma'ariv is optional. So how could you make these strict rules about Ma'ariv if the whole thing is optional? How could you say, you know, you don't have to daven Ma'ariv, but if you do, you have to be so mechiul atfila? So the answer is that, I mean, the answer most of the Rishonim give is that, yeah, it's optional, but if you do it, you have to do it this way. And it's not a difficult answer. But the point is that because it's optional, the rules, it makes sense that the rules about it are more relaxed than about Shacharis. And so what Rav Amram said is, look, we say Chatzi Kaddish at Ma'ariv. That shows you don't need Geulah Tefillah. Shows you don't need Geulah Tefillah at Ma'ariv. What's amazing, by the way, is that Rav Amram here uses the custom, like the practice in his Sidur and in the synagogues, against the Gemara. That's something that, you know, people don't do nowadays, to show that a custom is correct against the Gemara. The Tosfos and the Geonim, they did that. The Rambam, for example, was very right. The Rambam, going back to the first couple of Shirim where we looked at the very beginning of the Gemara and that Tosfos. But there were, throughout history, there were really two ways of looking at customs that don't really mesh with the Gemara. Either you justify the custom against the Gemara, or you tell everybody they're doing it wrong and they should do it the way the Gemara is set to do it. And so throughout the history of rabbinic literature, there were always these two views. And the Tosfos and the Gaonim, in many cases, the Gaonim, there were different approaches, depending on the Gaon. But by and large, Tosfos justified customs against the Gemara. And the Rambam and the Sephardic Rishonim told their communities they were doing the Rif, for example. You're doing it wrong. Everybody's doing it wrong. You have to do it this way instead. It's interesting that in the modern period, that kind of flipped. Nowadays, the Ashkenazi poskim, among the Acharonim, many cases, the Ashkenazi poskim are the ones that tell everybody that, you know, that to change the custom. But Rav Avadia Yosef, for example, is very fond of justifying the North African custom as opposed to the Gemara. So it's an interesting flip in history. That's right. Okay. We're going to look now on page 4 at a different way of approaching this Chatzi Kaddish. But it's also a whole different way of looking at halacha. You know, the Aruch HaShulchan is Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein, who lived in the late 19th and early 20th centuries in Lithuania. And he was a community rabbi. And he wrote this great work of halacha, the Aruch HaShulchan. It's a wonderful way of learning halacha. Quotes all the opinions. It's really great. What? It was a Dayan. But if you look at how he learned this whole thing, he learns it a little bit differently than what we've been doing. You know, lamdanim, those who learn Torah for the sake of learning Torah, Rashi Yeshivos, they always like to make sharp distinctions and analysis. It's either a legalistic, right, brisker. It's either legalistic or it's the thematic. That's what we've been doing, right? We looked at this line and we said it's either, you can either interpret it legalistically or thematically. Aruch HaShulchan is a posek. They look at things a little bit differently and they factor in different factors. Look at the section Chet in the bottom right. It's going to continue on to the top left. V'irali shekulam ledavar echad niskavnu. He quoted a whole bunch of opinions about all these things that happen between Gaal Yisrael and the Amidah at Ma'ariv. And then he says, they all were really talking about the same thing. V'hainu de ilulei haisat filas arvis rishus. Were it not that Ma'ariv were really optional. Oh, ilulei lo haisas sibas hayirah lisakev beveis haknesses shibas sados. Or, were it not for the danger of leaving people alone in shul in the field, that it's dangerous to walk home, lo hayu ba'im ledekach, they would not have added that paragraph of Baruch Hashem lo lam amein ve'amein. Right? He says there were multiple factors. Number one, it was dangerous to walk alone, so we wanted to do something to get people to stay in shul or to get the other people to have a shorter davening. And number two, Marv is really optional, so it's a little bit more flexible. Aval kevan chi rishus, since Marv is optional, vegam haisa siba sayira, and number two, because of the danger of walking alone in the field, hitchilu lehakel batfila. They started being more lenient with regards to the things around surrounding Ma'ariv. V'huksha aleihem levli lehitpalel klal. It would have been very difficult not to daven at all. V'amru yudches psukim elu v'yureinenu v'yeshes palelu tfilas shmona esrei. There are those who would say the paragraph with the 18 verses, and there are those who daven the full Shmona Esrei. V'zehu shekasvu haTosfos shebetoch kach yitpalel chaveiro. That's what the Tosfos meant, that while one person says the paragraph, the other person says the whole Amidah. V'chule klomar at she'elu yom rav sukim yigmor zet filaso. V'harosh kasav ikar atakana Shaisa Mipnei Hayira, and the Rosh wrote that the whole institution was because of the fear. The Tosfos Rabbeinu Yerucham Kasvu Mishom Rishus V'Travai Hutzrichi. Tosfos of Rabbi Yerucham wrote that it was because Marv was optional that they instituted this special paragraph. So the Aruch HaShulchan said that each one wouldn't work alone, right? The Rosh wouldn't work alone, and the Rabbeinu Yerucham wouldn't work alone either. You need both reasons. The fact that Marv is optional, and the fact that people were afraid to walk, that it was dangerous to walk alone. Either way, you know, however you look at it, since this whole custom spread, nasa takana kavua, it became an established custom. It's like a longer geula. And you know what? Even thematically, in these verses, there are many issues of geula, of redemption. You Hakol me'inyan hageula. All of this has to do with redemption. The chain hakadosh, and so too the half kadosh before the Shemona Esrei. Ikaro al hageula ha'atida. The whole thing is about the future redemption. Kadosh is about the future redemption. Look, the words of kadosh are all in the future tense. Yit gadal ve'yit kadash shemei rabah. That's all in the future. May God's name be praised and glorified. Uvifrat, Reuven's going to like this one. Uvifrat lahomrim vayatzmach purkanei v'ikarev mishichei. Shezehu ikar hageula. Especially if you daven us of Sfard, and they say vayatzmach purkanei v'ikarev mishichei, then certainly the Chatzi Kaddish has to do with geula. V'lachein afilu asfardim she'ein obrim psukim elu mikol makom kaddish omen. The Spartacus, they don't say that whole paragraph of Baruch Hashem v'olam amein ve'amein. They certainly say the Chatzi Kaddish before Marvin. He continues with the same theme, and he seals up the whole theory. But the idea is that the Aruch HaShulchan combines both reasons. It's a legalistic takana, and also it all has to do with geula, especially the Chatzi Kaddish. Okay. And with that, yeah. Oh, he says, Rabbi, tell me the Rabbi Yonah. Oh, good. Thank you. That makes more sense, actually. Good. Thank you. We'll go.